Good morning and welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast on February 6, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank. Thanks for joining us. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller here too with the news. Brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com. In the news, Indiana pork responds to a bill moving at the State House with implications for confined feeding operators. And an update from Indy with the Agribusiness Council of Indiana. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin talks winter weather here in February. And the ag markets were mixed yesterday, mostly lower. We'll have settlements with Tom Fritz analysis, too, coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com. Or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Equal opportunity lender. Member FDIC.
Farmers and ranchers, when it's time to buy or sell ag equipment, think Purple Wave Auction. We're your go-to online marketplace for tractors, combines, sprayers, and more. With our no-reserve policy, every item sells to the highest bidder. Experience the Purple Wave difference. Nationwide reach with a local touch. Purple Wave Auction. Whether you're expanding your operation or streamlining your fleet, we've got you covered. Visit purplewave.com today. Fuel your farm with Purple Wave Auction.
The legislation in the Indiana General Assembly that Indiana Pork and the Agribusiness Council of Indiana want you to know about. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. State ag leaders are working to shoot down a bill in the Indiana Senate that would increase the number of inspections at confined feeding operations, such as hog farms, across the state.
Trying to double in the inspection frequency, those dynamics don't shake out to anything productive as far as I can tell.
And that's Josh Trenary, Executive Director of Indiana Pork. Senate Bill 193, which was introduced by State Senator Rick Niemeyer, would require that the Indiana Department of Environmental Management, or IDEM for short, inspect each of the state's over 1,600 confined feeding operations, not once, but twice, during each five-year permit term. Trenary shared with Hoosier Ag Today his frustration, not just about the bill, but with IDEM as well.
Our concern would be, especially, and we're very frustrated with the agency right now because when they're asked about it, they indicate that it won't have any fiscal impact on the agency, even though essentially they're doubling their inspection frequency. They're saying they won't have to hire any new inspectors. So all I can figure is that they've got inspectors that aren't fully deployed, which is an issue in and of itself, or that they have fully deployed inspectors, but they're going to have to pull them off of some of these discretionary inspections, which are the ones we want them to do in favor of meeting some blanket statutory requirement that's nothing more than a talking point.
A fiscal study of the bill says that IDEM would have to hire six additional full-time staff and spend an additional $565,000 a year to make up for that increased workload. Most of all, Trenary says the system just isn't broken. He's encouraging those who have a confined feeding operation to contact their state senator to vote no on Senate Bill 193.
Reach out to your senator and say, this past reporting period for IDEM, there was six water quality violations in our industry in a year's time out of north of 1,600 permits. And I think there's more beneficial uses, more environmental benefit you could do elsewhere by if you're going to reallocate IDEM resources. And I think you should just let your senators know that.
Check out my full conversation with Josh Trenary with Indiana Pork at HoosierAgToday.com. Well, speaking of legislation that could have a major impact on Indiana agriculture, we check in now with Eric Pfeiffer.
All right, CJ, thanks. We are here at the State House, ACI State House Day. Bruce Kettler, President and CEO of the Agribusiness Council of Indiana. A lot of ag bills moving through here at the State House. Bruce, what's most important to you and ACI this year?
Yeah, we have several things we're certainly watching. As you mentioned, there are a lot that touch agriculture, may not even be direct, but the big one for ACI this year is the Grain Buyers and Grain Indemnity Corporation. There's a big bill. A lot of the folks, ag groups, work together to try to strengthen make sure we took away some of the discretion that that was in the case of the grain buyers agency that they had, try to improve and strengthen. And I think we've done a really good job as a group to strengthen some of the financial needs and commitments for licensees. And of course, a lot of licensees are members of ACI and looking at that. And then there were a few things directly for the Grain Indemnity Corporation for them to handle some more things directly for that group, electing officers and having the ability to be able to get counsel when and if they needed it, if there were claims that they needed to. Several other bills, there was a bill about studying for treated seeds. We're watching that. There was a bill around the state chemist office, proposal to move that into the Department of Agriculture. We're not exactly sure. We think that may be dead. Don't know for sure, but we'll continue to watch and see what that plays out, because a lot of our members work with the state chemist office, whether it's on crop protection, fertilizer. I think, you know, we have very good relationships. Our members have good relationships with the folks in the state chemist office, so we'll watch that. We'll continue to watch some water bills. They haven't seen much this session thus far on water, but there are some there. There was a bill that Representative Culp had on the taxation of grain processing equipment that could affect our members, because it allowed commercial entities to consider that and look at that as well. And there's a couple bills on PFAS and that we're watching. They're very different, but we want to watch, because that could affect crop protection products and how we're able to use them, or if we even have them available for farmers to use.
With Bruce Kettler here at the State House, if you want more information on that bill from Representative Culp that Bruce mentioned, you can tune into the latest episode of the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast. We'll have more on ACI State House Day on our website, HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
And I'm CJ Miller. Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Calling all organic grain farmers. Make plans to attend the Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting February 19th at the Beck Ag Center in West Lafayette. Explore the trade show for organic farming products and services. Network with fellow organic farmers and get your certification questions answered. Register online by searching Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting or call Ashley Adair 765-496-6362. This message brought to you by Purdue Extension and the Indiana Organic Network.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Interesting start to your Thursday here. We had rain and freezing rain coming into the state overnight last night. By mid-morning this morning, precipitation should be pretty much done. As a matter of fact, right away here at sunrise, we're seeing most of the state just with some clouds and some drizzle. But it's going to take a minute to get rid of the rest of the moisture, especially in southern Indiana. I do think that we see clouds giving way to some sunshine later this afternoon. It is still mild here to start the Thursday time frame, but that does not hold all day. I'm starting to see cold air ease southward across the upper Midwest and Great Lakes this afternoon. That'll push into northern Indiana first and then take control of most of the state through the day tomorrow. Tomorrow should be partly to mostly sunny in the dry down, but then we have clouds coming back on Saturday. With the clouds, we see rain in southern Indiana, and then overnight Saturday night through Sunday, rain and wet snow in the state. I'm more concerned about wet snow in northern parts of Indiana, rain in the south. Liquid equivalents can be anywhere from a tenth to 3/4 inch easily. Coverage 100%. As to the type of precipitation you might see in your specific area, we're going to wait and zero in on that a little bit closer as we move through the Friday time frame. Behind that, we are definitely much colder for all of next week. Arctic high pressure wants to settle in and take control, so we should see partly to mostly sunny skies for Monday and Tuesday. And then we do see a little system passing by mostly to our south Tuesday night, Wednesday of next week. A very active round of rain and thunderstorm activity coming from Texas through Arkansas, Louisiana, and the Tennessee Valley. The northern fringe of this is going to throw into Indiana probably clouds cloud cover. And I think in southern tier counties of the state, we may have to see a little bit of light precipitation. Otherwise, though, I'm not looking for a big impact from the southern system, mostly due to the fact that cold air is here. Now, if that system can gravitate any farther north, it's game on, and we could be in a very interesting position to have some snow come through. So that's what I'm watching at midweek next week. Otherwise, if we don't see anything there, we're just chilly for the balance of the week. Clouds and limited sunshine, probably dealing with a little bit of light snow activity again to finish the week on Friday into early Saturday. Maybe some rain in southern Indiana. It's all kind of a mess here with cold air sitting to the north, warm air to the south. And honestly, we're not seeing a lot of movement north to south. When we're cold, we're cold. When we come back the other way, we just see west to east flow here. Not a lot of super exciting stuff, but it's the kind of pattern that can give us all types of precipitation if and when a low does try and come through. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. We'll look at it again tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Steady in corn, but a big drop in soybean futures. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review. I'll have all the final numbers in a moment. We'll begin with market analysis. For that, I turn to Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago at the end of the session. Market in the case of corn was pretty steady throughout the trading session, down a little in wheat, and the weak side leader throughout trade, Tom, was the soybean market. Let's start there. Volatile week for sure. What was the reason for the down move on Wednesday?
Weather. Who's got the weather? No, I think today we've got better forecasts for the harvest-ready areas in Brazil for soybeans, which in turn means may waylay some of the fears on late-planted second-season corn. But bean complex was all about better weather being forecasted for Brazil. Also, some better forecasts for Argentina as well. But it's interesting looking at the breakdown of Argentina. You know, Argentina's not as big as Brazil, but still, north to south, you know, sometimes it's like night and day. So, you know, recently, northern Brazil, last couple of days, has been hot and dry. Well, southern Brazil has seen some scattered moisture, or I should say Argentina. Central Argentina saw some scattered moisture, and the forecasts are a little bit better for the all of Argentina. Whereas Brazil, it looks like drier for the harvest-ready areas, and it looks like it's going to be more than just a couple of days. So, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, weather is a primary influence here. Interesting in corn, you know, the president gave a 30-day breather on his tariff threats to Canada and Mexico, and with that, Mexico buys 330,000 tons of corn. Yet, you look at the corn market, yeah, we finished kind of, I don't call it mixed. Nearby corn's off a little bit. July corn's up a little bit. But the bear spread worked. Well, one would have thought that with the Mexican purchase of corn, we would have seen the bull spread work. Well, I think what we're looking at is we have all sorts of funds that play the game. And normally it's the fifth business day of the month preceding the delivery month that you get the big boy funds, like Goldman Sachs, Bloomberg, you know, those kind of funds where they start rolling their longs out of the nearby into the next contract. Well, the smaller funds don't want to get caught up in that, so they'll start rolling a little bit earlier. But, you know, they'll still wait to get it done in the month preceding the delivery month. And so here we are, the third day of February. And so I think we saw a little bit of that. Also, you know, the basis levels for corn haven't been the best. And that's in both the interior as well as for export. Now, I haven't gotten my updates done today, but that's been the trend. So, but I think overall corn's going to remain firm. Next Tuesday, we have the supply-demand update. And, you know, we're going to see what the USDA has to say about crop sizes in Brazil and Argentina. But I think more importantly, is the USDA going to make any adjustments to corn's demand as far as energy usage, as far as exports? January exports were the biggest since 2008 for the month of January. So, you know, stuff like that is hard to ignore. So I think overall this corn market's going to remain firm. And from a technical point of view, I still get the impression March corn wants to see what, plus $5 looks like. Now, you know, you look at May corn, they're above $5. July corn is above $5. But it's interesting, you look at the May to July corn spread, there's only barely a 3 cent carry, whereas March to May corn, what is that, a 13.5 cent carry. Tells me that, you know, there's plenty of corn around right now for the nearby, but that's where the specs play. They play up front. So God, we're going to have a little bit of push pull, here, you know, with the spreading motion versus, what the trade's going to be looking for on the supply demand report next Tuesday. So I think overall, you know, corn was down earlier today in response to the idea of better weather for South America. I think just the underlying bullishness of the corn market, you know, brings it back up off those lows. March corn finishes 4.5 cents off its lows. May corn 3.25 cents off its lows. July 3.5 cents off its lows. I think that's going to keep the corn market alive for a while. Wheat market, it's a crowd follower. We did have some business done. South Korea bought 84,000 tons of milling wheat from us overnight. You know, that helped us early on, but you know, still the wheat market really doesn't have its own story. It tends to follow the rest of the ag trade. And I think when corn went south and beans went south, the wheat market followed. So, and the wheat market's been mostly speculative short covering. You've heard the stories about a lot of folks think that the corn market's too long from the participants. Well, they've also said that the wheat market's too short with its participants, meaning, you know, they're too short. So usually when you get into an extreme like that, when one of the ag markets is too short, and the others are, you know, trying to add to their long positions, that one market that's too short won't stay down there. So I think that's what we've seen here in the last week or so in the wheat market, general short covering. And today's highs did tap at the low end of some decent looking resistance. So, but going forward, wheat will continue to be a follower, I think. Soybean market, the complex, it's going to be subject to, the ongoing whims of Mother Nature as far as South America is concerned. And corn, well, you know, it's a little high right now as far as the flat price goes, but overall, I think it'll stay firm.
Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. Final numbers now from Wednesday trade. March corn, 1.25 cents lower, 4.93 1/4. Unchanged for May, 5.04 3/4. Up 0.75 cents on July, 5.07 1/2. 18 cents lower March beans, 10.57. May dips to 10.72 1/4. Dropping 15 3/4, July down 14 cents, 10.86 3/4, March wheat 5.72 1/4, a loss of 4 3/4. The meats did go higher and strong moves through the session. April live cattle 201.30 up 265, April lean hogs 91.55 up $1.80. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Wednesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.